helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. Wishing is not planning. Just because you want something to work out doesn't mean it will. Yet it seems that wishful thinking is how most government plans are made. Today, I'm going to look at some recent examples of politicians' wishful thinking. Maybe we can see how things are being done. It'll encourage us to find better people to represent us. Hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution, teach rising generation to be free. I'm glad you could join me today. Things are a little busy here at the Constitution Study. We've got a lot of things going on, so I hope you'll see some updates, some tweaks, and hopefully you'll enjoy what you're hearing. Now, when we talk about wishful thinking, there's a lot of ways this, I see it manifest itself. For example, everybody remember how you had people saying, well, you know, if we just stopped charging criminals, crime would go down. I suppose in a twisted sense, that's true, right? If you're not arresting people, your crime statistics go down. You know, if you arrest 100 people a week, and then you turn around and only arrest, say we're only going to arrest 50, well, then your crime statistics go down, but crime doesn't actually go down. Now, there have been a bunch of these leftist, quote-unquote progressive areas that have said, here's what we're going to do. We're not going to charge you for certain crimes. We're not going to punish you. We're going to give you plea deals. We're going to let you go without bail. We're going to do all these things so that the criminals don't actually pay much a price, if any, for their criminal behavior. And somehow magically, they'll just be so happy that crime will go down. See, one of the hard things about wishful thinking is it so often ignores human nature. There are just things about human beings that are, you know, you can pretty much be sure they're going to do. One of which is, if you don't punish or even encourage certain kinds of activity, you tend to get more of that activity. So if you remember back to 2020 and you had the George Floyd riots, you had the Black Lives Matter protesting and this whole idea of we need to defund the police. And people came out of the woodwork going, the last thing we need are police. Of course, I also find it interesting that those are the first people to get called when bad stuff happens. But no. Let's defund the police. And surges in crimes, murder, carjacking, theft, they seem to be surprised. I don't know why anybody would be surprised unless, well, they were basing it on wishful thinking and ignoring, like I said, the basics of the human condition. For example, I've talked about this before, how Governor Hochul in New York is deploying the National Guard and the state police to New York City subways. Why? Well, let's see. I believe they defunded some of the transit police, and they've been pretty much letting people get away with, you know, they call it bail reform. It's, you know, let's get out of jail without, you know, worrying about the public that's being exposed to these criminals. And sure enough, crime has been going up in New York City subways. Now, what is her response to crime going? See, we have this thing called the scientific method, right? You have a hypothesis. I hypothesize that if we pull back on the presence of law enforcement, then crime will go down. So you test it. You pull back on law enforcement. I think it was a dumb idea, but okay, give it a try. I'll let you know. Then you observe the results. Crime goes up. Now, you would think the logical response to that would be, let's restore our previous policing policies. No. What Governor Hochul's decided is she's going to take the National Guard and the state police and have them become Gestapo in the subways, in the New York transit systems. She says, I'm going to demonstrate that Democrats fight crime as well. Oh, so now you've got your feelings hurt. You know, people pointed out that you've been really stupid about crime, so now you're going to overreact and make an emotional decision. At least it seems like an emotional decision. She says, so this narrative that Republicans have said and hijacked the story that we're soft on crime, that we defund the police, no. Well, except you have been soft on crime as a whole. New York State, again, the crazy bail reform, the unwillingness to prosecute certain crimes, the defunding of the police. New York City has one of the largest police offices in the country, if not the world. Their police department, something between 30 and 35,000 officers. In fact, back in the 1970s, my mother was an auxiliary to the New York City police force. She made sergeant. So they have the capabilities, but nope. We have to have an emotional reaction. See, it's not saying, she didn't come out and say, okay, we tried this, it didn't work, we're going to restore this. No. We're getting called names, so we're going to, you know, the short person syndrome. You call them short and they just attack. That seems to be what they're doing. But you see, they're not attacking the criminals. Oh, no, that would make way too much sense. You can't attack the criminals. They're going to attack everyday people who are simply using the subway. You get on the subway, maybe you live in the city, maybe you're visiting the city, you get on the subway because it's a quick and effective way of getting around the city. It's not always the nicest place, but, you know, hey, New York City subway systems, works fairly well, at least the experience I've had with it. No, let's not be there and be a force to deter crime. Let's not be a force to find the criminals and incarcerate them. No, let's commit the crime. Yes, I said commit the crime. Because what she's talking about is having warrantless searches in violation of the Fourth Amendment. If you're on the subway, she says, the city has the right to search your person, to search your bags, without any probable cause. Apparently, in her mind, using the subway is probable cause that you're a criminal. So she goes from, instead of fighting crime, she becomes part of the crime itself. She's committing a federal crime. She is conspiring to deprive people of a right protected by the Constitution of the United States, the right to be secure from unreasonable searches and seizures. There's no, in other words, she's not searching people because they have a reason, just because they're on the subway. And then we wonder why people say not only those who are soft on crime also seems to be the most totalitarian. Cities like San Francisco and Washington, D.C., both defunded their police department and have seen major increases in crime, and both are now moving propositions forward to, increase their police presence, to do more to try and fight the crime that they helped allow come in. And then you have Oregon. Oregon is a perfect example of getting it, this type of wishful thinking. See, back in 2020, Oregon passed Measure 110. It became the first state in the country to decriminalize drugs like cocaine, heroin, oxycodone, and methamphetamine. That hasn't worked out so well. You see, both houses of the state passed HB 4002. I'm sorry, 40002. To reimpose criminal penalties for drug possession. See, they had a wishful thought that, well, if we just make it legal, then we won't have crime. It didn't work that way. As I said, I don't really have a problem with cities trying things. I think they're foolish. I wouldn't have voted for them if I were there, but they gave them a try. The concern I have is when they backtrack, they always seem to go a little too far. They make the problem, and then they make the solution worse than the problem that they made. Speaking of things that sound good but actually are worse, Back in Joe Biden's State of the Union address, he touted job growth in America. So, see, under his leadership, that he's helped in, grow the job market. And yeah, as I understand it, there are the unemployment rates down, and that sounds good. Of course, there's a lot of information behind there that we may want to be interested in. But then again, we have facts and data. For example, the Federal Reserve Economic Data, or FRED database, has some rather interesting news in it. He said, yes, employment levels are up, mostly among immigrants. Both legal and illegal immigrants have been trending up in the immigration since COVID-19. However, during that time, the number of people working had started a little bit of a rise, but has slumped among actual native-born Americans. So yeah, the overall number of workers is up, but between January and February of this year, more than 1.1 million workers gained jobs if they were born outside of the United States. Now, the 1.1 foreign workers got U.S. jobs. However, native-born Americans, their employment level has fallen by roughly half a million. So you can say, well, listen, we've got 600,000 new jobs, but most of them were people that came in. Now, some of them came here legally. Some of them, on the other hand, came in here illegally. And in fact, the FRED data shows that there are fewer native-born Americans employed today than were employed in February 2020, just before the COVID response cratered the economy. So back then, there was 130.3 million native-born Americans employed. Now it's down to 129.3 million. Meanwhile, immigrant employment, which was down at 27.7 million in February 2020, has now risen to 31 million this year. That means that while a million native-born Americans have lost a job, over 3 million immigrants have gained a job. Now, again, if they've came here legally, okay, but I have to wonder how many of these job gains were gained illegally. People who are not who broke the law to enter this country. They may have gotten a work permit from the government, but they broke the law to come here. You see, the wishful thinking doesn't necessarily come out the way we want it to. The wish that these policies would increase the workforce and the employment hasn't really come out the way we expected. And not the way it's being spun, it's being described in large cases here in the United States. So it does make me wonder, are we setting our goals? Are we setting our policies based more on wishful thinking or the reality of human beings? And I guess the other question is, are we learning from these mistakes? Are we learning from the outcomes? And well, so far, I would not say we're learning all that much because we seem to be repeating the same mistakes we've made before, somehow expecting a different outcome, which, memory serves, was Einstein's definition of insanity. I mean, I suppose we could understand why we sometimes feel hopeless. We see the woke agenda, the open borders, the out of control spending, and these crazy decisions, crazy policy going on and on and on. Well, guess what? There is something you can do to change things. You can buy from companies that believe, well, what you and I believe. We need to stick together now more than ever. And there's been one company willing to stand with you since 2012. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They offer the very best nationwide 4G and 5G coverage on all networks. In fact, they use the same towers as the major carriers. I switched to Patriot Mobile a couple years ago, and I've been very happy. They have service plans that fit any budget, and their 100% U.S.-based customer support team provides exceptional support. I've been very happy with the support I've gotten. I've never had a problem when I called them for help. Most important, Patriot Mobile shares our values. They support organizations fighting for religious freedom, for your constitutional rights, for the sanctity of life, for our veterans and first responder heroes. Now, switch to Patriot Mobile now and get free activation with the offer code Constitution. Simply go to patriotmobile.com/constitution and use the promo code Constitution to get free activation and a great price on a wireless carrier with excellent service and excellent support. Do that today. Now, while you're at it, I don't know about you, but sometimes I get to the end of the day, I am toast. My mind is shot and I still got work to get done. Well, what do? I found something that boosts my short-term focus and my long-term brain power. That's Healthy Cells Focus and Recall Vitamins. No caffeine, not sugar, not an energy drink. Vitamins. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop and find out more about all of Healthy Cells products, including Focus and Recall. See, because you're an America Out Loud listener, you can get 25% off your first order from Healthy Cell, Focus and Recall, or any of their products. So again, go to AmericaOutloud.shop to find out how you can get 25% off your first order from any of the products from Healthy Cell.
In 2008, people could spend an average of 12 seconds on a task without becoming distracted. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds. The digital age is narrowing our attention span. Trouble concentrating or recalling information is frustrating, embarrassing, and kills productivity. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Focus and Recall to boost your brain power. And unlike other supplements that don't work, Focus and Recall is not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients to help you immediately sharpen focus, concentrate longer, and strengthen recall. These physician-formulated gels come in a small gel pack. Tear off the top, shoot it down. Thousands of 5-star reviews proves it works. Supercharge your brain and see the difference. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Today's high-stress, on-the-go lifestyle makes it hard to stay heart healthy. Lifestyle changes like exercise and diet are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created Heart and Vascular Health to support three aspects of heart health: cholesterol, blood pressure, and triglycerides, with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 13 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution study today. We're comparing wishes versus reality. And, I start out the program talking about crime and the jobs numbers, but I want to switch gears a little bit. I'm going to start off with the Supreme Court. Now, as much as people claim otherwise, the Supreme Court is a political organ. The idea that they are non-political, well, there's so many ways it's proven wrong. I mean, most people refer to the justices as either Republican or Democrat, or Republican appointed or Democrat appointed, and it shows. But here's what's interesting. You may not remember that, back when Trump took office, there were calls before Obama left office for Ruth Bader Ginsburg, to resign and allow Obama to choose a replacement. It didn't work. So she stayed, she eventually died, and Trump chose a replacement. Well, not wanting to have that again, there are plenty of people that are now calling for Justice Sotomayor to resign, to allow Biden to choose a replacement. Now, this would not be the same as when Justice Antonin Scalia died and Obama tried to replace him, and the Senate, which at the time was controlled by the Republican Party, simply refused. They said, you know, their advice was, no, we're not taking up a justice as you're at the end of your term. We'll let the new president nominate somebody. And of course, that pissed all sorts of people off. It's why, by the way, Merrick Garland is Attorney General, not just the Supreme Court, because remember, he was the one that Obama appointed and that the Senate refused to take up. The Senate is slightly in the control of the Democrats. So if Justice Sotomayor were to retire and Biden were to choose somebody, pretty sure the Senate would rubber stamp it about as quickly as they could get away with. But again, it shows the part of it shows the wishful thinking. You know, well, gee, we're a little concerned that Biden's not going to make it again. So, what can we do? What can we do to protect the oligarchy known as the Supreme Court? That's truly what it's become in many ways. It is actually maybe backed up just a little bit, but Sotomayor is certainly one of the more activist judges on the court. And the Democrats, the progressives, the Marxists have gotten a lot of their agenda through in the preceding 30, 40 years because of activist judges, and they don't want to lose another one. They lost one when Ruth Bader Ginsburg died and was replaced by Amy Coney Barrett. She's not as much of an activist. I'm still squishy on her when it comes to her constitutional bona fides, but obviously there was a change. So now the quote, they call them liberals. It's funny, they're the most illiberal group I've ever found. They call them progressive. They're the most regressive group I've ever found. But the point is, they've decided maybe wishful thinking is not the best way to go things. Rather than saying, well, you know, Trump will only be in there 4 more years, and we can get the presidency back after that, and she's only 69 years old. She can probably survive another 5 years, right? Maybe the wishful thinking is going to, we don't want to do that. So there are calls for her to retire to allow Biden to appoint someone younger, but with the same, I would assume, the same Marxist and activist tenets as Sotomayor has shown herself to have. All right, let's take a look at this. I talked yesterday about the State of the Union address and the fact that Biden misspoke himself. He was wrong about, he got the wrong first name for the woman in Georgia who was killed by an illegal alien. And of course, he referred to him as an illegal alien, as an illegal. And that, of course, got the Marxist in a twist because, well, no one's illegal. Well, guess what? If you break the law, that's an illegal act. You're kind of illegal at that point. If you're here illegally, that makes you an illegal. But oh my God, the brouhaha, people's so after all the backlash from his supporters, Biden kind of, he stepped back a little bit. Now, I love this one. You talk about the political two-step. So Biden's being interviewed, I think it was on MSNBC, and he was asked if he regretted referring to Lake and Ryle's alleged murder as an illegal. Of course, yes, that was immediately, yes, oh my God, how would you do that? Well, then it was interesting because then a reporter at the at one of the press briefings asked one of his press wonks, said, why did you, are you standing by the fact that Biden apologized to an alleged murderer for referring to them as an illegal? Who, of course, immediately went off, he didn't apologize. He never used that word. He used a different word. Yeah. He says, I regretted calling him that. See, it's the wish of just saying, how can we just say something versus the reality of, guess what? Everything you say is going to be twisted. Everything people say is going to be twisted. It's one of the reasons why people say, Paul, why don't you run for office? Because I don't want to put my family through the lies that come out of the media. As I said yesterday, the alleged murderer is an illegal alien. Not only did he break the law to get into this country, he has, I believe he has, an order of deportation in force, yet they still hadn't removed him. Now, sadly, you know, we people may say that, well, if he weren't here, then Ms. Riley would be alive. We don't know. You cannot know for sure. What I do know is that there are consequences for actions. And there are consequences to the fact that this wish that somehow we ignore the distinction between immigrants who come here legally and illegal aliens who come here illegally. Now, they like to call them illegal immigrants. They're not immigrants. They broke the law to come here. They're not looking to, you know, that means they're not an immigrant. It also, they are not simply an undocumented worker. So I'm fully aware that that people will twist language to get the apparent outcome that they want. And this is just another example of, hey, you know, wishful thinking. You know, can't we all just get along? We ignore the fact that they broke the law. Ignore the fact that they came from outside the country. Ignore all of that, boy. Can't we just call them undocumented workers? The answer is no. So I refuse. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I refuse to lie to you, to use an incorrect term for someone in order to avoid hurting their feelings. If anything, in this particular situation, I'd be more worried about the family of Lake and Riley and their feelings. I would be the one saying, it's a terrible, we're sorry. You're right, we can't say for sure, but it sure does appear that our policies help contribute to the death of your daughter. And I know we were wishful thinking that simply allowing illegal aliens loose in this country would not have these serious consequences. But we were wrong. And we've learned our lesson, and we're going to do something about it. We're not going to let this, your daughter's death be in vain. We will learn from it so we never do it again. No, that's not what happened. The reality is it's become a political football based on the term used, trying to change the language to convince the American people that the person that allegedly murdered, rather brutally, Ms. Riley was merely an undocumented worker, just a poor guy down on his luck, trying for a better life, who you know, reached out to the American people in hope, and we extended a hand of friendship. No, he broke the law to get here. He was convicted of crimes while he was here. He was supposed to be deported from here. He was not deported from here, and he committed a heinous and gruesome murder. That's the reality. All the wishful thinking about immigration doesn't mount to a hill of beans when you're staring down the face of reality of, she died. She died at the hands of someone who wasn't here legally, who it was the administration's job to remove them from the country, and they refused. They didn't fail. They refused to do so. That's the harsh reality. And it may hurt, but it's the truth. Here's another reality for you. I've heard lots of people talking all the wishful thinking about how, well, you know, if we just get along, we can figure out how to pay for all this nonsense. As long as we keep spending money, everything's going to be fine. It reminds me of a man who jumps off a high-rise building, and on the way down, he's heard as saying, "Well, so far, so good." Forgetting it's not the fall that kills you, it's the sudden stop at the bottom. Ladies and gentlemen, in a financial sense, not only is the United States falling off of a high building, we are getting very close to that sudden stop at the bottom. And everybody who says, "Well, the Republicans will fix this," baloney. I've been around long enough. The deficit has gone up and up and up. Our debt has gone up, whether it's a Democratic administration or a Republican administration, whether it's a Democratic Congress or a Republican Congress. All Congresses are spending money ridiculously. I mean, if we could wrap our head around the scale, I think our heads would explode. But this wishful thinking that the Republicans will balance the budget is hogwash. That's why, a pox on both their houses. Remember, it was a Republican House with a Republican president that printed, what, $4 trillion, $6 trillion to deal with the aftermath of their decisions to lock everybody down because of COVID? Remember that? This deficit has been a problem. So we keep saying we will balance the budget. We are going to be the responsible people, except for one itty bitty problem. They haven't gotten to first base yet. First base is to return to regular order, meaning you go through the 12 appropriations bills every year. You do not do these omnibus bills. That is first base. We have not gotten to first base yet. Now, I don't blame Speaker Johnson, and I don't entirely blame the House or the Senate. We made a mess where we got dependent on huge deficit spending. And let's face it, how many of the American people are going to vote for a politician that says, "We're cutting your program"? They're not. See, as much as we whine and complain about the spending bills, about these omnibus bills, they do it because they know in their heart of hearts that if they actually cut the way they promise, they lose their jobs. Rather than looking and saying, we have to make hard fiscal decisions. Hey, listen, when I got laid off, we had to make hard fiscal decisions in this family. It's the nature of the beast. When I moved from upstate New York to here in Tennessee, we had to make hard fiscal decisions. But we did, because we knew in the long run, it was not only the right thing to do, it was the best thing to do. So everyone who's wishing and wondering, saying, "Oh, you know, we hired a new Republican speaker, it's going to get fixed." It's not, at least not in the short run. Now, I do give Johnson some credit. It's gotten better, right? But I'm not foolish enough to sit here wishing, "Oh, everything will be fine now because we've got a Republican in charge." Ain't happening. Not saying they'd be fine if there was a Democrat in charge. You know what? I don't think anybody's going to be fine because, again, there is little incentive for members of Congress to actually rein in their out-of-control spending, because that's how they bribe the American people for the votes they need to keep their jobs. So let's stop with the wishful thinking that we can have our goodies and not pay for it. We are paying for the largesse. We are paying for all the goodies we got from the federal government during COVID, for all that we've gotten for our entire lives. We are paying for it through inflation. We are paying for it through interest rates. We are paying for it because we were just wishful thinking. We could have everything we want and somebody else will pay for it. The reality is, that's not how it works. That's not how life works. That's not how the world works. And let's face it, the reality is going to bite us in the butt one of these days. The question is, which day? And the question is, how hard? And are we prepared for the day when the music stops? You know, all the musical chairs, you can play all the musical chairs you want, but sooner or later, that music is going to stop. And a lot of us are going to be left holding the bag. Now, I have to take another break. Before I go, though, you know, I want to remind you, there are a lot of books over on the website, Constitution Study, you might find useful. Go to constitutionstudy.shop, look at the book section. The biggest ones that I sell is the Constitution Study, which is a clause-by-clause study. It's my study through the Constitution, written in plain English. If you want to understand the Constitution better, and the idea of going to a law school, which is the worst place to go, or to one of these more academic classes, this gives you agita. Well, check it out. Try the Constitution Study book that's available in ebook and in print format. You can also try out my daily devotional, Read the Constitution in 30 Days. It's designed just as that, just as a devotion. You read a couple minutes a day, and by the end of 30 days, you've read the Declaration of Independence and Constitution. These are tools available to you to help you read and study the Constitution, to help you be better prepared for the world and be better prepared to defend and assert your rights. Now, I know a lot of people who like to sleep before they go to bed. My wife's one of those. She reads to help her fall asleep. It never worked for me. Usually I fall asleep really well, but sometimes the mind just is racing and it's hard to fall asleep. That's when I reach for Restful Sleep from the Wellness Company. No hormones, no drugs, just some nice natural components that help me calm down, reduce stress, get a good night's sleep. Made right here in the USA, backed by documented research and vetted by the chief medical board of the wellness company, you can get 25% off Restful Sleep or any of the products at the wellness company. You can also get 25% off your first month of membership if you use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. So please go to twc.health, that's the wellnesscompany.health, and check out their products, check out their membership, and be sure to use that code OUTLOUD when you check out. Let them know you listen to America Out Loud. As a thank you, you get 25% off your products and your first month of membership.
When God, through his grace and mercy, gave us free will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutLoud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel our very best. Our redox-based products tap into reserves within you to power your personal well-being. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. Today, we're comparing wishes versus reality. We've looked at a lot of different topics, but if there's one thing we seem to be told to wish for, it's that government will protect us. We're told that you don't need to defend yourselves. Government is there. Police will be there. Somebody will be there to protect you. That's their job. And the men and women who do that job and do it well are worthy of honor, and I do honor them. But they're human. They make mistakes. And sometimes the price for those mistakes are extremely high. We all remember the school shooting in Uvalde, Texas. We remember the hour that police waited outside while gunmen were allowed to wander the halls of the school. We remember stories of parents, one of which was even, I think it was off-duty law enforcement, who attempted to go in and rescue their children and were prevented by police. And hopefully we remember the scenes of the crosses and the coffins from the shooting at that school. Now, we would wish that in all the things that went wrong, all the terrible tragedy, not just the shooting, but the fact that the police waited outside, we would wish that we would learn from that lesson, that those mistakes would be recognized so that others wouldn't have to suffer. Now, I remember the school shooting outside of Nashville. And I praise the law enforcement. One, they got there quickly. Two, they didn't wait to go inside. They got as soon as there were three of them, they went inside. And they started moving through the school. And once they heard gunshots, they went to the sound of the shots and they dispatched the murderer. They did not do what the police in Uvalde did. And they got full marks from me for it. Well, back in 2022, the city of Uvalde put together a commission to look at what happened at the Robb Elementary School. And recently, the results of their investigation were released. The gist of the new report says the police did nothing wrong. Quoting from the report, former Austin Police Department Detective Jess Prado examined the actions of each Uvalde police officer as they responded to the deadliest school shooting in Texas history on May 24, 2022. The report recommends that each police officer should be exonerated, stating in most of their cases, no evidence of serious acts of misconduct in direct violation of the Uvalde Police Department's policies was found in his behavior in response to the incident. I find that this officer acted in good faith. Well, if that's true, if they were following police policy and procedure, then that's the problem, was the police policy and procedure. I understand. It goes against human nature to put your life at risk for others. But isn't that part of the job as a law enforcement officer? Aren't you there to protect and to serve? Now, needless to say, not everybody was real happy with the report. Kimberly Mata Rubio, whose daughter was among those who were killed in the attack, said, you said they did it in good faith. You call that good faith? They stood there 77 minutes. Another person in the crowd cried out, cowards. Ruben Zamora said, my daughter was left for dead. These police officers signed up to do a job. They didn't do it. Laura Garza, who is aunt of one of the young victims, said, there's kids dead, teachers dead, children who survived in the class bleeding, teachers who are never going to be the same. And you're going to tell me nobody did anything wrong? Shame on you. Shame on you. Probably to me the most, I want to say, damning evidence of a set of wrong priorities came from the Detective Prado, who reviewed who issued the report. He said the families who rushed to the school that day compromised efforts to set up a chain of command as officers had to conduct crowd control while parents desperately tried to get in the building or begged officers to go inside. Set up a chain of command. Priorities, sir. If the priority is to place procedures above the lives of innocents, there's a problem. If the priority is to worry about your chain of command rather than the children and the women and children and people who are dying in the school, there's a problem. And let's face it, Mr. Prado, the reason officers had to conduct crowd control were because parents were desperately trying to save their children while the police officers didn't. They were difficult to control because they were trying to save their children. Because the police didn't. They were willing to risk their lives for their children while law enforcement was more worried about getting their chain of command up and running. Needless to say, I don't have all the details, but I'm certainly leaning towards the anger of the parents in this situation. So if you're out there hoping that if anything bad happens, the police will be there, that's wishful thinking. Maybe they will. There are thousands of law enforcement officers at all levels that will do the right thing, that will put themselves at risk to save others. But that's still wishful thinking, because how do you know you're going to get one of those? It's one of the reasons why I say we need to be prepared to defend ourselves. We are the first responders in our own incidents. When danger comes, when threats to our life comes, we are the first to respond. Because law enforcement, as great as they may be, are most likely not standing there waiting for you. Sadly, the parents in Uvalde, Texas, learn the realities of the wishful thinking that if something were to happen at their kid's school, the police would be there to save them. I want to go back to something I was talking about before, and I was talking about the budget. The spending bill, they said, oh, we're not going to shut down the government. Yay, we avoided the partial government shutdown. Oh my God, life as we know it is not going to end. I saw this article just a little bit about Republican lawmakers that are defending the use of earmarks in this bill. The $13 billion in fraud, $13 billion of your tax money embezzled from the American people to play their little spending games, to bribe people to get votes. You know, one Republican, Representative Aaron Hotchin, said, when Democrats are in control, if we don't have the opportunity for our elected representatives to weigh in on these types of issues, then we're sending our tax dollars to Washington, D.C., and bureaucrats are deciding where it goes. Oh, so the other side does it, so it's okay for you to do it. I don't know, Aaron, is that I would generally think it's a woman's name. If the Democrats were running off a cliff, would you follow them? Because that's basically what they're doing. They've run the American economic system off a cliff. And you're telling me you're just going to go along? Representative Owens from Utah, she was thankful for the earmarks because he got money for his community project funding. Oh, so you're stealing federal dollars to do what your state is supposed to do. If you're waiting, if you're wishing that, oh, the Republicans will save us, they're not going. They're not gonna. The Republicans are just as likely to bribe you with your own money as the Democrats. You may be less offended by what they embezzle your money for, but they're still embezzling your money. The reality is, Congress will not get their funding, their monetary policy straightened out until the American people start firing them for embezzling our money. All the wishful thinking in the world is not going to fix our monetary problems, our fiscal problems in Congress. It's not going to stop crime. It's not going to get police officers to protect us from the evils in this world. All the wishful thinking is not going to restore our economy, bring jobs back to the United States, or protect us from the criminal abuses of either the Supreme Court or any administration. Wishful thinking is simply sitting back and hoping things will get better. Ladies and gentlemen, they're not going to get better. The hard reality is we're in a mess. We've spent 150 years piling dung on what is now called Washington, D.C., stealing from the American people, embezzling from us, putting in these programs, making us dependent on their embezzlement. We've become weak. We've become dependent. We've become subjects. Yay. We've even become slaves in many cases. And all the wishful thinking in the world is not going to change that. The only thing that's going to change that, the only thing that's going to restore this country to the land of the free, is that the American people become brave enough to stand up. To stand up to the politicians who think, we just will punish crime and everything will be fine. Who disarm their citizens while letting the criminals go free. Why do we keep hiring them? Why do we keep hiring people that destroy American jobs and then claim everything's great? Why do we keep hiring people who are more worried about offending an illegal alien than the family of a murdered daughter? Or that are more worried about the bribes they use to keep their offices than they are the fiscal health of the American economy, the American family, and the American individual. If we think this is all going to get better, if we just keep going along, everything's going to get better, that's not going to happen. How do we make this better? By remembering we don't work for those in Washington, D.C. They work for us. And if we don't like what they're doing, it's up to us to replace them. Sure, you may have to give up some of your goodies, your pet projects, your programs, the bribes you accept. But let me ask you, would you be more like the parents that are willing to risk their lives and rush into the school, Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, on the chance that they can save their children? Or are you more like the officers that stood outside saying, well, we got to have a policy and a plan and a chain of command and somebody's got to make a decision? Who are you? At the Battle of Lexington, when the militia commander was ordered for him and his men to disarm and disperse, Captain John Parker had a response to that. He told his men to stand their ground. There's no wishful thinking. They were going up against the strongest, the most powerful, the most well-trained military in the world at the time. There's no wishful thinking. But he told them to stand their ground. He told them not to fire unless they were fired upon. But he also said, if they mean to have war, let it begin here. Let's stop the wishful thinking and realize while we are not in a shooting war, we are in a battle for the soul of America. Let's stand our ground. Let's not fire unless fired upon, but let's engage in this war. If they want that war, let it begin here. And by here, I mean, keep coming back to the Constitution Study every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. Listen to the podcast. It usually comes, the episodes come out generally a day or two after the episode's heard on talk radio, and you can listen in your favorite podcast app. But do me a favor, subscribe to the show. Leave our episodes a rating or a review, especially on Apple Podcasts. If we want other people to listen to the Constitution Study, they have to hear about it. And by having more subscribers gets us higher in the ratings, so people are more likely to see the show. By getting better ratings, 5 stars, it helps people go, maybe this is worth looking at. You can find all the links you need at the homepage at AmericaOutloud.news. But I'm going to ask you, don't be like the law enforcement officers at Uvalde. Don't stand around waiting for someone to set up a chain of command. Do something. Take this news, take this information, take this knowledge and share it. Be people of action. We're not asking you to run into a building against a gunman. All I'm asking you to do is to share this program, share the podcast, share the radio program. The act of sharing, regardless of how many people see it, doesn't just change them, it changes you and helps you to share the blessings of liberty, not just with your friends, not with just with your family, but with everybody who wishes to live free.